to God, just letting Thomas let you know we just got back from Cleveland and got to spend some time with our pastor. We feeling good and feeling great. Wonderful time, and we're just grateful. But I just feel like an assignment is on me today. Just leaving there, being encouraged and talking to my pastor and everything. And we're going to dig into this thing. Amen?
Amen.
So if you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I'm going to go with the New Living Translation. Romans 12, chapter 2. And it says this: don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, comma, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, period. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect, period. Yeah, we come to roll today. I'm gonna put it on y'all because we ain't playing that. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, comma. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Period. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, comma, which is pleasing, excuse me, which is good and pleasing and perfect and period. If you don't mind, shake somebody's hand and say, get your mind right. Yeah, get your mind right. It's not a game. Get your mind right. Get your mind right is a term that we use in the African-American culture. In this phrase, it suggests that a person has a problem with the way they're thinking or they're acting. And the only way to fix that is for them to do what? To get your mind right. Can I suggest to you that if we believe that God is real and that he had a real son named Jesus who really died and really rose on the third day for us, that he defeated a real devil that has real demons. Yeah, I can't believe God and Jesus and all this. I can't believe all that and not deal with the fact that there's a real devil and real demons that are out to try to get me and trip me up. The devil is a schemer, a liar, and a conniver. And he attacks us not just in our physical body, not just with cancer and sickness and disease. No, no, no. He also attacks our minds as well. As we look at this Pauline text, the Apostle Paul wrote this, that tent maker from Tarsus, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. One of my favorite professors in school and college referred to the book of Romans, the greatest book ever written in the Bible. And I know why. Because it brings a gap. It bridges a gap from the Old Testament to the New Testament. You deal with the first Adam. Adam who sinned and got us in all this mess to begin with by eating from the tree. You do that. And then Paul jumps and said, we go from the first Adam. Then we jump to the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ. And in him we find redemption. In him we find the Holy Spirit who gives us the strength to live right. So the book of Romans is a wonderful book. But I'm just going to cover a couple verses today and get out your way. Let's look at this. Verse 1 real quick right here. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Y'all miss y'all shout. It's cool though. It's cool. It's cool. I'm going to read again. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you.
Amen.
Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him.
Amen.
We see Paul pleading with us as Christians to do what? Give our bodies to God.
Amen.
So let me share something with you. I want everybody to know this one thing. Your body is important.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord.
Your body is important. Don't ever mistake that. That our bodies, which are gifts from God, are really important. As we go back to verse 1, and since God made us alive through Christ Jesus, the Bible says, and since he died, and now he's the ultimate sacrifice, there's no more need for animals, there's no more need for killing anything. God put his son on that cross for you and me and everyone in between. So now God requires a living sacrifice. So the importance, the body is so important. Why? It's the avenue of sin. Yeah. The avenue. There was no secret that our soul and our bodies are in constant warfare with each other. Yeah. Our physical sensations are the avenue and where the tempter travels. Yes, our physical sensation where the enemy comes and trips us up and gets us into all kind of mess. And singles, listen to me, Pastor Letton Tom, we're going to deal with this new relationship series. I can't wait in July to get that thing off the ground because the Bible is telling us it's the way to live as a single. And the enemy trips us up. I know he does because why? I know some of you are trying to be holy, but you're horny. Yeah. Pastor, don't keep it 100 at all times. I know some of you trying to be holy, but you're horny. So how do I live in the world like this? How do I navigate through this? And the devil is so conniving. He's a liar, y'all. Check this out. He got us thinking he created sex. That ain't what my Bible tells me. The Bible says God created Adam and then he created Eve and Adam knew Eve. That means they were together, they were married, and then they had sex. So the devil didn't create sex. He perverted it. See, the devil is a copycat. All he does is try to take what God did and make it glorify him. That's why you have porn. That's why you have molestation. That's why you have all these other forms of sex, orgies and all this crazy stuff. No. If God created it, it's good. Amen. So God created it between a husband and a wife. So we got to realize who is the creator and who is not. But the body is an avenue for sin. See, my eyes while I lust after things. The ears where I hear gossip. My tongue can tear somebody down quick as it can build somebody up. My hands touch things they got no business touching. My feet go places they have no business going.
Amen.
We got to be careful, y'all. So I'm presenting my body as an offering. Why? Because I'm showing God his place in my life.
Amen.
If I present my body as an offering, I show him where he exists. He is numero uno in my life. He's number one. But our bodies are important. Why? Because all of our addictions, all of our soul ties, all these things come from things we did in our body. Yeah. To alcoholics and drug abusers and being promiscuous and fighters, whatever you're doing it through your body. So look at the New King James Version. It says it's like this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't miss this. It says by the mercies of God. Somebody say mercy.
Mercy.
Mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or do harm. So God gives us mercy. It's like someone breaking into our house, stealing stuff. We come downstairs, we catch them, and we got a gun on them. And they might have a gun in their hand, too. And you say, you know what? I should kill you because you're in my house and I got to jump on you. But I'm going to let you put everything back and you leave and I ain't going to call the police. That's crazy, man. Ain't nobody doing that, amen? Ain't nobody doing that. But think about that. God did that with us, y'all.
Amen.
We deserve to die. We deserve to be on that cross. So Paul is trying to encourage us that, check this out. If I am worth dying for, at least God's worth living for.
Amen.
If he's willing to die for me, the least I can do is live for him.
Amen.
Yeah. I love that because Jesus so often, why? Because he paid asking price for us. See, y'all miss your shout. He paid asking price. You know what asking price is? So when you're about to buy something, a vehicle or something, they have a price there, and that's what they are asking for. That means they might want it, but they ain't got to get it. Yeah. See, if it's asking price, I can come in, I can negotiate a little bit, I can talk you down a little bit, we can go somewhere else. And God said, this is the price for redemption. I need you to go to the cross. I need you to be beaten. I need you to be whipped. I need you to be stabbed on your side. I need you to be pierced on this cross, have your hands and your nails pierced with stakes. And Jesus said, I'll do it, Father.
Yeah.
He paid asking price for us. So I thank God that Jesus cared enough about me to pay asking price. Amen.
Amen.
So the New King James says, this is my reasonable service. So if it's a reasonable service, he's basically saying what I should be doing anyway.
Right.
That's the least I can do is live for you. Let's look at it in the New Living Translation. I'm going back and forth between because they both got some nasty words in them. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you.
Yeah.
Let them be living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. That is truly the way to worship him. Wow, I love that. I love that. By living a holy and sacrificed life, God finds this acceptable. Everything we consider a sacrifice isn't always acceptable to God.
Right.
Yeah. Sometimes we just show up church with an attitude, thank God I'm here. God better be glad I got out of my bed this morning. God should be glad I came. God should be glad I came to this house today. But we got to be careful because God knows our hearts. And everything we think is a sacrifice is not always to him. As I was reading this, I was thinking about Cain and Abel. And God required a sacrifice with Cain and Abel. He said, present a burnt offering to me. And Abel went and got a lamb. Something he knew God wanted. He got the best of his lamb and presented it to God, and the God took it. Cain went and got some fruit and some vegetables from the ground and got all his stuff together and presented it to God, and God didn't take his offering. What if what we think we sacrificing to God, God ain't accepting? What if what we think we giving our best, but it's not really our best, because God knows what the best is? So Abel took his first. He took the best of what he had and gave it to God. Cain said, I'm going to give God what I think God would like. Not what he said, but what I think he's going to like. And God didn't accept it. Another example, Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament. People went and sold all they had and gave to the church. And they wanted to look like big ballers and shot collars. So they said, you know what? We going to say we sold all, but we really, and gave it all to the church, but we only going to give half. We going to say we did it all. We want to look like them. They giving thousands and all this. We want to look like them. So we going to say we giving all to God, but we only going to give half. And when they came up to give their offering, Peter said, you ain't lying to me. You lying to the Holy Spirit. Jesus. And Ananias fell dead. So then they went and got his wife and bought her and asked, gave her a chance. Did y'all really sell everything y'all got and gave it to God? Is this the sacrifice you gave? And she said, yeah, went along with her husband. He said, why are you lying? You're not lying to me. You lying to the Holy Spirit. Boom. And she dropped dead. Jesus. So we want God to accept our sacrifice, but it's a certain sacrifice that he accepts, and it's one that he doesn't. Mm-hmm. Don't miss this. The text says that presenting our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice is the true way to worship him.
Amen.
Yeah. See, worship isn't always a slow, slow year on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Yeah, I know we tried to say that's worship, and there's some worship is here in the songs, but it's not just a slow song. If you don't mind, let Pastor Park right here and teach for a minute. I know we call worship singing and giving glory to God, and don't get me wrong, that is good. I want us to be a worshiping church, to love God and praise him and lift him up and do all these things. But if that's all the worship you got, what happens when the music stops? If all I got is a song, and all I got is a sing when I come around, and it ain't no music, where's my worship?
Amen.
I don't think he said worship me in what? In spirit and truth. Yeah. Not in song indeed. No, in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
So if my worship is just built on music and some songs, at some point in my life, music gonna stop.
Yeah.
See, I have to worship him. Why? Because of who he is.
Yeah.
I have to worship him because he loved me when I didn't love myself.
Amen.
The Bible says this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me. So when I was in my wrong, in my lowest point, he still died for me. That's why I worship him and I love him. He says, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of I cleansing me of all unrighteousness. So I worship him because of who he is, not because of what he's done, but because of who he is. So check this out. True worship is measured in obedience. Yeah, yeah. Worship is what? Conforming to the image. Yeah. My worship is real when I present my body as a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
Because I'm giving God obedience.
Amen.
I'm saying, God, I feel you. I roll with you. I'm giving you my body. It's the best I can really give you. And I'm giving it to you. See, to be a worshiper, you got to go from being a fan to a fanatic. Yeah. So you can't be a fan of Jesus. We got to be a fanatic for Jesus.
Amen.
Okay. See, when I'm a fan, we like, I like him a lot or whatever. He cool and all. But being a fan holds us back in life. We're not willing to give our time. We're not willing to give our talent. We're not willing to give our treasure just being a fan. When I'm a fanatic, I'm all in.
Yeah.
See, fans only go so far. I'll give you an example. Everybody like Michael Jackson. I would say most people like Michael Jackson. And Michael has fans all over the world. We know that even in his death, been gone for, I think, at least a decade, and he still got fans all over the world. But, and I'm a fan, and people fans, I like his music and all that, but the fanatics, they're a little different. I see them with one glove on. I see them with sparkly socks. I see them with thriller jackets and the zippers. The fanatic says, you know what, I'm conforming to the image, and all I'm saying, if we want to get what God has for us and be what we need to be, we got to go past being a fan of Jesus and saying, I'm a fanatic. I love everything about you. I need you. I need everything that you have to offer me. Because just like the fanatic of Michael Jackson, when they see me, you should see God. When you see me, you should know who I represent. When you see me, you should know I worship the God of the Bible. So God is trying to get us somewhere. Look at. This is a New King James version. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's New King James. I'm going to go back to mine. I love that. Don't copy the behaviors and custom of this world, comma, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, period. Yeah, but like I say, period, don't be. Yeah. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, comma, which is good and pleasing and perfect, period. The reason we struggle at presenting our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, it's because we're copying the customs and behaviors of the world. God called for us to love him with all our hearts, our mind, our strength, our spirit. God called for us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And as I was thinking about this, it tripped me out. God never called us to love the world. You cannot love something God calls you out of. See, if I used to be on crack, God probably ain't going to send me to go minister into the crack house. Because he called me out of that. That don't mean I don't talk to him and I think I'm better than him. That's not what it means. But for me to try to help you and get you at a place, I can't go back where he freed me from.
Right, right.
Our love for him makes our love for the world fade away. Yeah. That's why John says, check this out. Let me show you this in 1 John so y'all can feel me on this. Look at 1 John 2:15. It says this. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. Wow. See, our love for him makes our love for the world fade away.
Amen.
That's why John says, if anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father isn't in him. So what is the world, hopeless? I think not. What does the Bible tell us? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
So what God kind of showed me is that it ain't your job to love the world. That's my job.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
See, only God can love the world. Why? Only God can provide them hope. Why? Because the world can't take his mind.
Right.
The world can't corrupt God's character. Yes. The world can't entice him to sin. Right. So it's his job to love the world. We can kind of make it our job and then we mess up. See, our job is not to embrace the world, but be an example to it.
Amen.
I don't think I heard what I said. Our job is to embrace the world, but be an example to it. But that's why we keep running back to foolishness again and again, because we're trying to embrace instead of being an example.
Help us, Lord.
We're trying to go back to the crack house where God has freed you from. And then we get caught up. We think we're trying to help and trying to do this thing, and we get caught up and messed up. Why? Because we have put ourselves in position to embrace something that God never said embrace. Look at 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, I got to make sure you know what the world is so we're on the same page. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Wow. The world's love is different from God's love. See, the world's love, when he said the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all of that does what? It puts us on the throne. See, the world's love is about me. What's the lust of the flesh? Not just sex, not just that. It can be anything. It can be my attitude, how I want to present myself, how I want to be. I want everybody to bow down to me. I want to do it my way, and I don't care what nobody say. You could be walking in your flesh in all kind of ways. In the lust of the eyes, I could be lusting after a person, but guess what? I could be coveting what they got. I might be jealous of them seeing what they doing and God blessing them, and now I'm upset. You know what I mean? Or could be the pride of life. I want to run my own life. See, the world's love is not like God's love. We can all choose love, but the world's love is passing away. I seen a quote and it messed me up. It said this: I'd rather live my life believing in God. Excuse me, I'd rather live my life believing that God is real and die than to live my life like there isn't a God, then die and find out he's real.
Amen.
Woo! Wow. I'd rather live my life presenting my body as a holy sacrifice, believing that this is going to happen, because at the worst, let's say God wasn't real, I know I lived a good life.
Right.
I know I did what I was supposed to do. But the quote said, but what happens if, because you knock me because I'm living my life for God. You knock me because I don't want to do what the world does. You knock me because I'm trying to present my body as a holy sacrifice. You say I'm wrong, but what happens when you die and find out you're wrong? The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live my life and have my life fall into the hands of a living God. When I know I didn't love him, I know I didn't think about him, I know I didn't care about him, I know I didn't regard anything he says. So we got to be careful, because it says this: the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. That's a promise right there. I'm going to live past the grave. Thank God for his word. So check this out. We're getting close to the end. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. I love that.
Amen.
But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. He didn't say change the way you shout.
Yeah.
Change the way you pray.
Right.
It got something to do with our mind, y'all. Mm-hmm. Then when you will learn. See, if I'm thinking, I'm what? I'm learning. To know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect.
Yes.
The reason we are copying and conforming as Christians, because we act like we ain't in a spiritual war.
Mm.
Yeah. A smart mouth and some quick hands ain't going to get you nowhere in this battle.
Yes.
It ain't going to get you nowhere. Street credibility ain't going to get you nowhere in this battle. I'm sorry. We cannot do anything in the natural to help us fight this battle in the world system. The only thing that's going to help us fight it is Jesus. Look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we are humans, we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down the strongholds.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, you're in a war.
Yeah.
Everybody's in a war. Every day we're in a war. And a war is not a street fight.
Mm-hmm.
A war involves several battles. Anybody that goes to war, a war ain't over in one day.
Yeah.
Wars take time.
Mm-hmm.
And this war just happens to be for the rest of our life. But he says this: for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, which means they're not man-made.
Amen.
Our weapons are what? Prayer. I can't wait till we get Bible study cracking, because I'm telling you now, I'm going to park in prayer for a while. I can't wait. That first Wednesday, August, I'm parking in prayer for a while. I might be in prayer for a year. I don't know. And I love it. I love it, because that's where my pastor's at, in prayer. And I believe in what God is doing in his life. So, you know, I'm going to be a good son and follow that mold, because prayer is important, because I don't want a church. I believe God can do some reckless things to us. But check this out. As I was back there worshiping, thanking God for all of you here, I don't want a church full of people with no power.
Yes, Lord.
I don't want a church packed out all the way front to back, and we happy and we singing and all this, and first devil come in, we scared. We got no power to pray them away. We got no power to pray for our kids and lay hands on them. We have no power. No, a praying church is a powerful church. So I can't wait to get into prayer and stay in that thing and park as God begins to do some things in our life. But he says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, and the reason we messing up a lot of time, we don't know what our weapons are. Ephesians 6, read it today, please, when you get home. It suggests that we had to put on the whole armor of God. It tells me I got to put the helmet on of salvation. That means the way I think, my head is covered. It tells me I got to put on the breastplate of righteousness to cover my heart. It means I got to put on a belt to guard my loins with truth. My belt keeps my truth up, baby. I got to have on a belt to keep me up, man. I got to have a shield of faith to quench the enemy's fiery darts, because the devil is mad. He sends darts at me in any way to people I love, to people that are no good. Whatever he does, I gotta have a shield of faith to quench those fiery darts. Then it says, praying always in the spirit. spirit. You got to pray in the spirit. Always praying. But I love this. But then he says, guess what? Oh, that's defense. You got to have a weapon for offense. You got to have the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. So all that is defense to block the devil. But sometimes you got to grab the sword, which is the word of God, and begin to fight back the devil. Amen. You got to know what your weapons are so you can fight this battle. And then it says this, our weapons are mighty for the pulling down the stronghold.
Amen.
The reason we need this sword is because we got to pull down strongholds.
Amen.
Every time you experience some freedom, what happens? The enemy comes sending somebody your way.
Yep.
Yes. It don't mean no good.
Yes.
They ain't got no good interest in you. He sends something and it gets you caught up in trap. And it's like, dang, I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to live right. And you keep sending this person to come against me, God. What is wrong with the enemy? Every time I experience some freedom, every time I get into some feeling some good about what God is doing in my life, something come happen to try to snatch me back. The Holy Spirit is telling me I shouldn't be here. I need to get away from this person, these people, whatever it is. And if we stay, I got it, God. I can stay. I can handle it. And then we end up regretting what happens. Sometimes our idle mind gets us in trouble. It shouldn't. We end up believing things that aren't even true. See, strongholds remind me of strings. Because what the enemy does, thank you, Jonathan Morales, tries to put us in cycles and produces strongholds.
Yeah.
They put strings on us and we become like puppets.
Wow. Jesus, Jesus.
Yeah, we become like puppets. Wow. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Pastor Vernon. My father, he says this. The thing about strongholds, you got to be careful because a stronghold is when only you and that person and the devil know.
Jesus. Jesus.
A stronghold, you can't get free because you ain't told nobody.
Amen.
As long as me, that person, and the devil know, he gonna always try to hold me down to it because I got guilt and shame over my head. No, 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 no. I get free when I talk about it.
Amen.
And the devil's a trip because strongholds come. And a stronghold, don't get me wrong, a mistake is not a stronghold. We all have made mistakes before. Sometimes you make a mistake. But a stronghold is that I've been down so long, I think I can't get up.
Right, yeah.
I've been down dealing with this so long, I don't feel like there's no hope for me. A stronghold is that I've been on welfare so long, I ain't thinking about working. It ain't crossing my mind. Yeah. A stronghold is that we've been shacking so long, we ain't even thinking about getting married. That's what we doing. We live together and we sleep together. A stronghold keeps you bound. That's what a stronghold is. And God is trying to tell us that we got weapons to free us from these strongholds.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But. What are the strings? God kind of told me the strings of lust,
yeah,
what the devil uses, the strings of hurt, the strings of pain, strings of drug abuse, strings of pride, strings of envy. And truth be told, our hearts, we want to get to Jesus and we want to follow God. We love God, but it's like these strings just keep pulling me back. I want to get closer to you, God. I know this is real. I know we're growing, but these strings keep pulling me, God. Pulling me back. So what did the weapon say? He said he gives us the word, which is the sword of the spirit. If I'm not mistaken, I think a sword cuts.
Amen.
So if I got strings attaching me and pulling me back, I need the sword of the spirit to cut my strings.
Amen.
Can I prophesy over your life? Then no more strings gonna hold me back. Then I am free. I'm like Pinocchio. No more strings attached to me. I am free. I'm moving what God told me to move. I'm cutting the strings. I'm using the word of God. I'm no longer your puppet. I'm not dealing. You're not no puppeteer, and I'm not no puppet. If I'm anybody's puppet, I'm God's puppet. Amen. I'm not fooling with you no more, devil. And look at what he says. Check this out. In 2 Corinthians 10, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
Bringing every thought that's thinking.
Amen.
Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Look at that. Look at verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. This is why you have to drink that living water. This is why you got to have that sword of the spirit. Because you got to know what is exalting itself against the knowledge of Christ.
Right.
If you don't know what it is, how you gonna fight it?
Right.
Things come into our life to exalt itself into Christ's spot. It tries to captivate our thoughts. If I'm feeling defeated, I got to know greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Because it's exalting itself against Jesus. But to figure that out, I got to know what Jesus said.
Amen.
How can I know? If I got a problem with lust and I'm dealing with things, I got to know to say this, that who looks after a woman with his eyes has already committed adultery in his heart. I got to know what God says. If I'm having a problem about my money and I'm down and low, I got to say, but my God can supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Because that's trying to exalt himself over the knowledge of Christ. If I'm struggling with paying my tithes, I have to know these things. I have to know to say that the Lord is going to open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing. I'm not going to have room enough to receive because something is trying to exalt itself over the knowledge of Christ. And you can never come back with it and fight it if you don't know what Christ is.
Amen.
If I'm feeling stressed out, I got to say, he who keeps his mind on me is in perfect peace.
Amen.
I've got perfect peace over me.
Amen.
So we got to be ready to what? Know what Christ said, but I love this. He says, but be ready to punish all disobedience until my obedience is fulfilled.
Wow.
We got to be in a point that obedience is so important to us. I'm ready to punish disobedience.
Yeah,
I didn't get the devil enough of my good time. Yeah. The devil ain't did me right. He left me with what? Enough insecurities,
right.
Enough fear, enough hurt, enough pain, enough soul ties, enough bitterness. He ain't left me with enough. So I'm coming back for everything that he took from me. Yeah. Every time I was tricked, fooling with people that didn't mean no good for me. Every time that he tricked me and got me caught up with some foolishness I had no business being a part of, I'm coming back for that. I need it back. I need God to give it back to me. I need my love back. I need my time back. Look at this. I need all my stupid money back. All the money I wasted on stupid people doing stupid stuff. I need everything back. I'm sick of the devil and what he has done and trying to get us caught up, because all he does is leave us heartbroken, abandoned, and broke. I'm tired of that life. I don't want that life anymore. I want to be blessed. And blessed and blessed. I want favor. I want grace, mercy. I need all the stuff that I should have got from the beginning.
Amen.
The devil tricked and stole from me. Amen.
Amen.
Look at somebody say, I'm coming back for you. I'm coming back for everything he took from me. I'm ready to punish all disobedience. Let's look at this. Romans 2. We're back to the last verse. And do not be conformed. I had to throw this New King James Version in there. Because I like the word right there, conform, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. So to go from conform to transform, God has to get hold of your mind and your heart.
Amen.
Yeah. He got to get a hold of both. The reason I have to renew my mind, the text says what? That you may prove what is good.
Yeah.
That you may prove. And in the Greek, I love this. I love it. In the Greek, it says that this word is implications to improve.
Yeah.
It is to discern or to allow. So we must pray to God, read his word, attend worship, and receive instructions of the word.
Amen.
Because this allows us to prove what is the will of God.
Yeah.
What is good and what is acceptable. If you are reading for yourself, then you know you are able to prove what is good and what is acceptable will of God. That means the person who tries to engage me in a Bible conversation or a pastor who tries to preach, you can't pull one over on me.
Right.
Because I know the word of God.
Amen.
And if you line up, it should be line up on line, precept on precept. You're trying to give me something that ain't in the word.
Right.
You can keep that. I don't receive.
Right.
You keep that right there. I don't need that. Because I know that ain't what God said. So we got to know this. But how did this happen? The kind God wants us to go through, transformation. Yeah. He wants a transformation in our life. But the kind of transformation can only occur as the Holy Spirit changes our thinking.
Amen.
But how does he change it? Through constant study and meditation of Scripture.
Amen.
The renewed mind is one that is saturated with and controlled by the Word of God.
Amen.
To know what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will, which is holy living that God approves and not man.
Amen.
So check this out. God is trying to get us somewhere. He's saying this, that the reason why you can recognize me physically, but when we talk and you don't understand who I am internally, is because I've been transformed.
Mm-hmm.
That while we are talking and having a conversation, that even though you've known me all these years, the person I am now is not who I was.
Amen.
My physical might look the same, but a change is went on the inside by what? Not just in my heart, but the way I think.
Amen.
So God is trying to get us somewhere. He's saying this, check this out. So if you let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think,
mm-hmm.
Look at somebody and say, I've been brainwashed. Oh, you missed it. I've been brainwashed. And no, I'm not talking about a cult. And no, I ain't talking about drinking no Kool-Aid. And no, I ain't talking about following no foolishness. I've been brainwashed. Why? Because The blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh my God, the blood has literally washed my brain. When I look at his word, I've let God wash me with his word. So you're right, I'm not who I used to be. I've been brainwashed. I don't talk like that no more. I don't act like that. I changed the way I think. I'm on something else. I'm on something for my family, for my kids. I need a better life. I need some more money in the bank. I need to give God some more glory. I need to see what I need to be doing in ministry. I need to see what God has for me. So you're right, I've been brainwashed. But it's not craziness. No, I've been washed with the word of God and the blood of Jesus. What can wash me and take away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So God is trying to show us to change our way of thinking. We got to get brainwashed.
Amen.
He has to wash our brain.
Amen.
With the word of God. Mm-hmm. My last illustration and I'm done. As a kid, anybody play Simon Says? Yeah, Simon Says is a game. I think all kids love it until you get a little older. But as you were a little kid, you love Simon Says. And somebody's always Simon. We know how the gang works. Somebody is Simon, and it's Simon Says. So whatever Simon says, the person must do. So we say, if Simon says jump, you got to keep jumping. So Simon can tell you to jump, and you're jumping, right? You're jumping, you're jumping. Then Simon says raise your hand. So you got to raise your hand. But if I stop jumping, what? I'm out, right? Because Simon never said stop jumping. So I'm thinking about Simon Says and Simon, and we do what Simon says and what Simon says not to do, we don't do, and that is how we win the game. Where we start playing Jesus Says.
Amen.
Where we start saying Jesus said, love my enemies. What if we start saying Jesus says, pray to me. Jesus says, talk. Jesus says, read my word. We start playing Jesus Says, I guarantee our lives will get a lot better. We start following, because what? That is worship, and that is obedience. And that's the highest level of worship.
Amen.
So God is calling us, y'all, to move past the norm and move past just the plain things. God wants to do something miraculous with us, y'all. But we got to give him a way into our mind and let him begin to change the way we think. Amen.
Amen.
Can we give God a praise in this place? Hallelujah. We thank you, oh God, for you and your word, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for you having your way with us, oh God. So I'm thankful and I'm grateful for what God is doing in our life. Real quick, everybody here is already a member. So I'm not, of course, not asking nobody to join, but we're here and God is real. And if you need special prayer, if you're struggling with something, that's what we're here for, to encourage you to pray God's blessing on you. So if you're struggling and you need some special prayer, let you come on and come forth now, and we'll pray with you and love on you and speak over you whatever God calls us to speak. But remember what I said, this is real. The reason it's a stronghold. Check it out. It's a stronghold sometimes because don't nobody know but you and the devil. And you carrying all that weight and all that pressure and all that pain. So God has even freed me with that. I love it. We already have a great relationship, me and Lady Thomas. But I make sure I tell her everything. Everything I think that might look like is about trying to be a stronghold. I'm going to let her know. Because I need to be free in everything, all the time, every kind of way. I got no time to play with the devil. For one, he don't play for me. Because seeing the trip, y'all. Sin keep you longer than you want to keep kept and take you further than you want to go. And it does it every time. Every time his job is to trick you and connive you and get you caught up. So if you need special prayer, we're here to pray with you, to love on you. Whatever the case may be, we here. So like I said, we are not asking nobody to join. But if you need something from God, come forth. Let us pray with you. Let us love on you. And we gonna help you out. That's what we called to do. Play the game. I want to see God's blessings in your life.
That's it.
I want to see God's favor in your life, your kids' life. Generation, we're generational, y'all.
That's it.
I want to see God bless you. Is there anybody else that needs some prayer, whatever case you may be? Because the devil, thank you for this song, the devil tries to keep us in cycles. Because he gets our way of thinking. He gets into our mind and
yes,
we need to repeat the
Lord,
same steps
you,
over and over again. It's like a movie we already seen. Anybody, I just seen every episode of Martin. So when I'm watching the rerun, I already know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I know what's going to happen, what they're going to say. I know what Tommy's going to do. I know what Cole's going to do. I know what Martin, Gina, I know what everybody's going to do. Because I've already seen it. And the crazy thing about us is that the devil be giving us reruns. And we know how this gonna go if we say yes.
Yeah.
We know how this gonna go if we go with this person. We know how this gonna go if we do this. And then what do we do? We go anyway. And it's a rerun. And I ain't got no time for rewind. I need new shows in my life.
That's it. New episodes.
I need some stuff I ain't never seen. Yeah. I need new episodes.
New episodes.
Because God says he's having to do exceedingly and abundantly more than I could think, imagine, or ask, according to the power that's in me. I need some I ain't never seen before stuff, God.
Yeah. Thank you.
I need it in my life. I need it. So if you need prayer, anybody else, ask you to step forward and get ready to pray for these young ladies. If you don't need prayer, I need you out there praying. Not just sitting there watching. A praying church. It's a powerful church. Anybody else?
I think if anybody has dealt with a stronghold and is dealing with the stronghold, don't let the stronghold leave you in your seat. You need to be up here and you need to get prayer. You need to be up here and you need to get prayer.
Jesus.
You need to get prayer.
You need to get free. It's what we're here for freedom.
Yeah.
We're here for freedom. I need freedom in every area of my life.
That's it.
And I need every area of my life to be blessed. I can't give the devil no more time, y'all.
That's it.
No more time. I ain't got time to play with him. I ain't got time to do none of that.
That's it.
And then, as we received the awesome word over this weekend, he talked about acceleration.
Yeah.
That sometimes we feel we're too old and we've been down too long. We've been doing this road too long and God can't fix it and God can't do it. But it was talking about getting in a position of prayer and getting in a position of trusting God and being obedient. And what might take another person 10 years, it only take 1 year for you.
That's it.
Yeah. Caught that. Yeah. That's not the rule. I'm an exception to the rule. God is an exceptional God. God will break rules for you.
Amen.
God breaks rules for you.
That's good.
I got that spoken over my life. I'm speaking over you. I want you to feel that. God breaks rules for you.
Yes,
He said that when most people go into a lion's den, they die. But Daniel didn't.
Yeah.
God breaks rules for you.
Yes, he does.
When most people yell at walls, nothing happens. But when the children of Israel yell at Jericho, all the walls can't crush them down. God breaks rules for you.
Yes, he does. Thank you, Lord.
The children of Israel, God split open a whole Red Sea. They were able to walk through on dry land.
Amen.
Think about this. A Red Sea split open on dry land. It's water. It should have been some mud, shouldn't it?
Yeah. Right.
But it was no mud. Why? He said, because if you see mud, there's tracks, and I can follow my own way back. I ain't following back my own way. God didn't leave no tracks. They went through there. He made an exception to the rule. And the last one, he said this, that somebody went to the grave and sat there Friday and sat there Saturday and got up Sunday.
Yes.
God made an exception to the rule.
Yes.
So y'all are accepted. When God is making exceptions for rules, don't never make this world think that I'm stuck here and I gotta be in this place forever. No, God is a rule breaker.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
The God we serve is a rule breaker. And I'm grateful for all the rules he's about to break. Because of our obedience.
Yeah.
Because we offer our bodies a living sacrifice.
Yes.
God gonna start breaking rules.
Yes.
Don't get the word over the house this time next year.
Yeah.
We should be getting in position for this time next year.
Yeah.
So God can begin to bless us and do some miraculous things.
Amen.
I know where you're at right now, but you got to think about, I'm getting ready for this time next year.
Amen.
Amen. So is anybody else, before we get to praying, anybody else that want to step forward? If you've been dealing with a stronghold or anything, this ain't the place to judge you. This is the place to love you.
That's it.
No, we don't judge. God handles all judgment. I'm not God. I don't judge.
That's it.
I love. I do what God. I work for God. I love. God handles all that. We got to love.
That's it.
So is anybody else? Amen.
That's it.
Amen. Y'all step forward, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, oh God. Yes, let's lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Be ready to freely receive. Dear Lord, I come right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I thank you, Father God, for these young ladies, oh God. For whatever you have placed in your heart, Father God, allow them to push forward to the front, Father God. We come against all strongholds in the name of Jesus, oh God. We thank you, oh God, that your blood is more powerful than any stronghold. That your blood sealed our redemption, gave us forgiveness, Father God, and gave us a new lease on life. We thank you that we can put things underneath your blood, Father God. So right now, I put everything underneath the blood. I don't care if it happened last night or last week or last month or last year. Whatever it is, that may be holding on to, Father God, we put it underneath the blood, oh God. We call, oh God, for forgiveness, oh God. We call, oh God, right now, in the name of Jesus, oh God. You said that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, oh God. I powerful, they're cleansing the blood, oh God. They are cleansed by your blood, oh God. You are washing them right now. You are washing their minds, oh God. You are washing their hearts, oh God. You are washing them, oh God, in the precious blood of the Lamb right now, in the name of Jesus, oh God. I speak the whole armor of God over them right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. I pray for the helmet of the salvation to cover their heads, oh God. They begin to think different, oh God. Begin to ask, oh God, what would Jesus do, oh God? You begin to give them the ability to discern, to see the enemy in his tricks and schemes, oh God. Cover their heads, oh God, right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. I pray, oh God, that the breastplate of righteousness covers their heart, oh God. That you are moving in their hearts like never before, Father God. You begin to feel them and pull them. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, the breastplate of righteousness is covering them, oh God. The shield of faith is lifted, oh God. I declare every fiery dart, oh God, must be quenched, oh God. Every fiery dart must be set down. Every fiery dart has been extinguished in the name of Jesus, oh God. I believe it and receive it right now, oh God. Over their lives, oh God. I pray, oh God, that the veil of truth, oh God, covers them, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God. Their feet are covered with the gospel of peace, oh God. Bless them right now. In the name of Jesus, oh God, that you are allowing them to pray in the spirit, oh God. Father God, that they are praying in the spirit, oh God, and their spirits are being renewed, oh Lord. Right now, in the name of Jesus, oh God, I can shake hands in the most high God, I see, Father God. I speak life over them. I speak to the enemy will not have no more stronghold, Father God. You begin to block the enemy right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. When they leave out of here, you block the enemy, oh God. He has no right to them, oh God. I speak the name of Jesus over them. He has no right to anyone in this sanctuary, oh God. No right to us, oh God. We come against them right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. And we declare victorious, oh God. We declare victory, oh God. In every area of our life, oh God. We declare thanks be to God who gives us the victory for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no more victims, oh God. We are victors, oh God. I speak victory over their lives, over their kids' lives, oh God. Over their grandchildren, oh God. I speak victory over their lives, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God. Have your way, oh God, in this place, oh God. We believe it, oh God. We receive it, oh God. And we thank you for it being done right now, oh God. So I declare blessings over them, oh God. From the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, over their children, over their life, over their jobs, over their finances, over any situation that they're dealing with, oh God. We declare victory, oh God. And we will remember you, oh God. No more reruns in our lives, oh God. Today's going to be a new episode. Today starts a new vision. Today starts a new start, oh God. We done with reruns, oh God. We need the new, the fresh oil, oh God. So we thank you, oh God, for your word. We thank you, oh God, for prayer. We thank you, oh God, for your love. I pray blessings on them all right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You gotta pray.
Jesus. Thank you.
Hallelujah. 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 Lord God. Bless you, bless you, bless you. God bless you, bless you. God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. 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 I give my hug. This is God. Hallelujah. Bless you. Yes. Amen. Amen. We thank God. Give your God one more hand. Yes. Hallelujah. We thank you, oh God, for who you are, what you're doing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God. All right. This is the time of service where we still can participate. Amen.
Amen.
We get ready for our tithes and offering. Amen. We get ready to give unto God. He's been so good to us.
Yes, he has.
I'm going to work on a declaration saying because I want to take the offering. It's very important. And God will give me something to speak just for this house.
Yeah.
As far as our giving, amen. Because we want to believe that God is going to do exceedingly abundantly.
Yes, he will.
Not just in the ministry, but in our lives as well. And we're going to have more than enough. I don't want no lack in no area of my life. No lack. So we believe God is going to do it. Amen.
Amen.
If you need the Cash App, those that give on Cash App, $ New Creation 2018, you should already have an envelope.